Procrastinating, a term most often used by the millennial generation, is a method of putting something off, delaying, or postponing something by taking part in the act of baking.
Welcome to Procrastibaking, a place to talk about our baking obsessions and avoid doing everything else. Coming to you from Southern California, I'm Luisa.
And from Eastern North Carolina, I'm Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
Hi, how are you?
I am well. I had a lot of sugar this past weekend because it was Easter, which is good. But I also feel like I get the sugar crash after.
Yes.
So that's the stage I'm in. But I wanted to give you a bunch of just general baking and other life updates. And I'm trying to decide what to start with because I have some TV related things I wanted to ask you about, but also baked goods. But let's just start with baked goods. That makes most sense. So one of the things that was really exciting about yesterday is that we had several Easter meetups with friends. And so in the morning, I got to see my friends, Caitlin and Suze, and their partners. And Caitlin has two little girls, so glad they got to play with them. And Suze picked up some really yummy baked treats from a bakery in San Diego called Areli's Bakery. And when you open the box, it was just so, you know, like when you're looking in the case and it just looks so visually pleasing, everything looked so beautiful. And I wanted to mention a couple of the standouts. So one of the ones that she was really hyping up to was a Nutella croissant. And it was delicious. I feel like sometimes when I get Nutella or other filled croissants, they kind of skimp on the filling. But this one was like generous filling inside, which was nice. And other ones that I didn't have, but that other people were raving over were their almond croissants. And then I did try the snail roll. It's like a snail cinnamon roll that was super good. So just putting that out there, if anybody is in San Diego and wants something really delicious, everything that was there was amazing. And then I gave away what was left over to our friends, Maki and Alex, at the end of the night. And Raul was very sad. He was like, I could have eaten that. I was like, listen, we had bagels, we had cupcakes, we had those pastries, we had Easter candy, we had a lot. We're good. It was time to say goodbye. Okay. And this is funny, but the other day I was on Reddit looking for I think the carrot cake recipe that we made. And I stumbled across these other really famous recipes that mostly come from the old recipe community. And so it kind of reminded me of the Bake in the Day segment that we did last season. And one of the ones that stood out to me was called Murder Cookies. That's what they nicknamed it.
You would like that.
I know, right? The name kind of stood out to me. And so really they're called Scotch cookies, but they're nicknamed Murder Cookies. And the story was that this person said that they live in a house where a murder took place and they were doing research on that. And they went down a rabbit hole and discovered that the person that was the neighbor at the time that this murder took place back in the 30s worked in a bakery. And at the bakery, the recipe of the year was this recipe for Scotch cookies. And so just the backstory is why I think it's nicknamed Murder Cookies. But I was looking through the ingredient list and I've never used mace to bake with. Have you used that before?
I don't think I have either.
So apparently it's very similar to nutmeg. And now I'm intrigued. So I think we should make these at some point. I think we should like shove them in somewhere because everyone's raving about them. And I need to know if they're really that good because.
We should do a Murder, She Baked segment and make all the things that have murder in the name.
Ooh, I like that. Good idea. I want to do this. So we need to do this because I'm very intrigued. And then some other ones that were funny to me were was Grandma's lemon bars, which I'm sure are delicious. Have you made peanut butter bread? Because this sounds very familiar. Depression era.
Peanut butter bread?
Mm-hmm.
No, I've made peanut butter banana bread before.
Hmm. I wonder how different. Well, this one doesn't have banana, obviously. I don't know. That one stood out to me. We should do more research on that because that looked interesting. People love that too. And I think that was it. There were a lot of other ones. So it's fun. I recommend if you're bored going through there and just looking because people, it's cool. People will post like pictures of their grandparents' old recipe boxes, you know, that people inherit when they pass away. So they'll post recipes that they find interesting on there. And so it's neat. It's really fascinating. Okay. So that's the baking stuff. Okay. First of all, have you read the book One Day? Because that was one of the recent things I just finished on Netflix.
No, I have not.
No. It's like a romance novel. Well, I hate calling it romance because that makes it sound corny. But it's a novel about these two people that meet on the last day of university. It takes place in the UK. And the novel highlights like a day in their life over the years, like as their friendship fluctuates and changes. So it's really beautiful and kind of sad and I was sobbing at the end of it. So if I wanted to tell you, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It is worth it. And okay, the other weird thing is that for some reason we got into a documentary kick. And I came across a documentary that's called Tickled. Hmm? And it is about, well, I guess at the beginning the premise was that this reporter stumbled across these professional tickling competitions that were like being promoted as, I don't know, like it could be like a wrestling type of thing, but like for real professional ticklers and you have to try to out tickle each other. I don't know. Really weird, right? So he thinks the same thing. Yeah, he's like, this is weird. I want to do a story on this because I've never heard of this before. And it takes you down a really unexpected, I kind of don't want to spoil anything, but you get into like stuff with crime and blackmail and I don't know. Stolen
identity from a tickling competition.
Yes. And I thought the whole time, I was like, this could be funny. Let's just watch this thing about professional ticklers, which is weird. And then it just is a roller coaster. So also highly recommend if you are bored and want to know more about this very specific subject. And that is it. That's all I've been doing. What is new with you?
Have I talked to you about when I went to Swank Desserts on the podcast? Like, I know I texted you about it.
No, let's talk about it.
Okay. So Swank Desserts is a bakery in Somerville, South Carolina, where one of our friends, Amanda, works. And hopefully one day Amanda will want to come and talk to us. because she has a really cool job. She's a pastry chef at Swank Desserts. And I went to a wedding, so I stopped on my way to the wedding and got a treat box essentially for breakfast. And then I took some back for my brother-in-law who has a big sweet tooth. So I don't remember everything I got, but I did remember that I got a cheesecake macaron, chocolate chip cookie, because that's like my measuring stick. I judge everything by their chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
And it was giant. I got a red velvet cookie for my brother-in-law. I got a berry cookie for him. I got two giant salted caramel brownies. And I feel like there was one more thing, but I don't remember. The ube cheesecake macaron was my favorite. It was my first time having ube. It was just really good, like really balanced. You could taste the ube, the cheesecake, like it wasn't super sweet.
Nice. Ube has been trendy for a little while now.
Yeah.
So
I would go back just for that. The cookie was really good. It was giant. It was everything I look for in a chocolate chip cookie. It wasn't dry. It wasn't cakey. It's interesting that everything I look for is like not things.
It's your out of your in and out list, right?
Right. The brownies were good, but they were not my favorite brownies.
Okay.
And Matt said that the cookies he ate were really good. So I think overall. Oh, I know what I got. I got a something savory. I forget. Some kind of, I think it was like a ham and cheese brioche maybe bun.
Okay.
Because that was my legit breakfast part. And it was good.
That all sounds really good.
Yeah. So highly recommend that out when you go to Charleston.
Reasonably priced. I mean, for the area and all of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for Charleston, yeah. For here, yeah. No. For Charleston, yeah, it was right in line with everything else. So, yeah, it was, it's tiny, so I'm sure they get pretty busy, but they had savory, like, brunch items, which was nice, and a whole lineup of macarons, and the brownies were so big, like, even though they weren't my favorite brownie, I gave one to Matt and I ate one, and they were so big, I cut them into 4 slices.
Okay.
Something I was going to share with the people who live with me, but nobody ever got one. So I just slowly ate 4 mini brownies.
Problem solver. Good job. Right?
So that's my bakery adventure. And then I finally did my roll the dice cheese pie.
Oh, right. Yeah. What did you make?
I made something called Easter pie, which, and I've been meaning to tell you about this blog, I feel like I know her because I found her blog because she's like friends with somebody I went to college with. So I've never actually met her, but it's called Pinch Me, I'm Eating.
Oh.
And her name is, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I think it's Caroline. And I believe she's also based in Charleston area. And she has started culinary school. And her blog is really cool, but I've seen it a couple years. She posts this Easter pie every year at Easter, and it's like an Italian Easter dish. And every year I'm like, oh, I'm gonna make that. And I never make it. And this year I was like, I'll make it. And I really made it. And it's basically like a savory pie. You can use pie crust, you can use crescent roll dough, you can use pizza dough, like whatever you want to use for the bread part. And you bake it in a spring form. You put the pie crust on the bottom and on the top. And in the middle is a filling made of ricotta, mozzarella, your choice of 3 different Italian meats, and hard-boiled eggs.
Oh, it sounds so good. Everything in
it. It was so good, yeah. So good. And you can eat it cold or hot. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of like the British picnic pie thing. So I think that has, for now, fulfilled my craving for the picnic pie. Because it's got the hard-boiled eggs in it. And I cheated and I used store-bought pizza crust for my pie crust.
Very nice. I think I want that. I want you to make me this next time I
go. Yeah. It's huge. So, yeah, it's just me and Alice here this week. And I made it and she's like, that's just for us. twice, and there's still like over half of it left.
Oh my gosh. And also what's tough about pies like that is you really should eat it sooner rather than later, right? Because then it just gets soggy. And
it gets soggy, yeah.
Yeah. So it looks like you have some work to do. Unless Sadie happens to get in it.
Grab a spoon.
Sadie's going to overhear you and she's like, I think I could solve this problem for you. Just leave it on the counter. Or honestly, leave it in the fridge. She'd probably find a way to get in there somehow.
She's surprised. That's why I don't leave like kitchen towels hanging on the fridge because I'm pretty sure she would figure out how to open it.
Yeah, she's a smart one.
After spending a season exploring the trippy world of TikTok, we've decided to try some beautiful bakes inspired by Instagram. For this episode, our masterpieces were wreath-shaped bakes. I thought this one was a lot of fun.
This one was fun. Okay, you go first.
So I browsed Instagram for a really long time, and I was leaning towards, like, Christmas wreaths, like, you know, like the star bread kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, like, in wreath shape. And I was like, I want to make something spring, like passion fruit or, like, lemon. And I finally found a – but I didn't want to make, like, pavlova. Finally found a wreath by Taste.com that's a lemon meringue wreath.
Ooh.
And because they're, like, a magazine or something, kind of – they suggest, you know, buy the cake, buy the ready-made meringue cookies, and assemble it. But I was like, we're not going to do that. So I had a plain vanilla cake in the freezer. So I used a layer of that and, like, carved the middle out so that it was, like, a wreath shape.
I like how you have a random cake in your freezer.
Right. But I made cake for something, and it made too many layers. Like, it made, like, four, and I needed three or something, so I just froze the rest of it.
That worked out, though.
Right? And then I made lemon pastry cream, and I made lemon curd. And so I cut the middle out of the wreath, and then scooped on the lemon pastry cream. And then that made the cake, like, sticky and wet so I could stick the meringue cookies on there. I made two kinds. I made vanilla, and I made orange blossom. The orange blossom ones are good, but when you got it paired with the lemon, you couldn't taste it.
Okay.
And my goal was to use that tip. I forget what it's called, but where it leaves a hole in the middle so that when you pipe, it like pipes a border, a circle.
Oh, these aren't Russian. They're not Russian ones, are they?
No, it's just a regular piping tip, but the design is so that there's nothing in the middle.
That's cool. I've seen you use those. What did you use that for before? I forget too.
I've used it a couple times. I think cupcakes, and I forget what else. But it was tricky to do that with the meringue. I only got like four usable ones. But for a small wreath, it was not bad. So I made the meringue cookies and layered those with lemon curd. Put lemon curd in the middle of the ones that did have holes. And then wherever there was like an empty space but too small for a meringue, I put a little dollop of lemon curd. And then the recipe suggested that you take your passion fruit puree and, like, splatter it over the wreath. And I tried that, and it looked like I spilled something on the wreath, so I, like, mopped it up very quickly and just ended up drizzling it, kind of like the lemon curd, in places where there wasn't a lot of room, but there was still – you could still see cake.
Okay.
And I was really happy with it, like – I'm normally not a, like, design person, but I thought it came out really cute.
I think it looks beautiful. It looks like something you would find in a bakery, like a special order something. I love, like, the contrast of, like, the different sizes of the meringues and the colors, and it looks really nice.
Thank you. And it tasted good. Like, the lemon and the passion fruit went really well together. It was, like, very springy.
Passion fruit's the best. It's underused, yeah. But it is so good. That's great. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. So I'm excited to hear what you made.
I made a recipe that has been on my Pinterest board for maybe 2 years now. And I kept saying, I'll get around to it eventually. And so this was the day. And it was a braided bread wreath. And the original flavors were raspberry and pistachio. And the raspberry, like the bright red color, looks so beautiful against the brown bread. But the jam that I had went bad before I got to use it. It had mold in it. I know. And so I had to improvise with what I had. So I did have a jar of dulce de leche that was just sitting there. And I didn't really want to do much with pistachio, to be honest, because I just did not have the energy to grind them down and make the paste. So the pistachio I already knew was out. And so I had to improvise. I had a little bit of strawberry jam. So I used that. And then I used the dulce de leche for the rest of the filling. And everything tasted really good. But I do wish there was a better ratio there needs to be more jam. And I don't know that strawberry and dulce de leche is the best pairing. I think the strawberry, well, it could also be that I just didn't have as much strawberry jam. But I want to make it again. I want to actually use raspberry in the dough like you're supposed to. And another thing that was tricky was just getting, like, the braiding was simple, but when I put the ends together, like I stuck them together.
That's always so hard.
It's hard. And then one side of my wreath was a lot chunkier than the other side. And so it has a funny look to it. Like if there's more bread on one part than in the other, but it's okay. Overall, it was really easy. I think it does look pretty to bring to an event or a brunch or something. And the recipe itself was good. I would make it again. I just want to tweak the, you know, the ingredients and the ratio of things. But overall, a success.
Yeah, it sounds good. And I imagine if you do the raspberry, you could probably get some of the freeze-dried and, like, put that on the outside, too, if you wanted to.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, there could be some fun ways to tweak it. For this episode, we decided to tackle a new challenge, making brioche. Bready or not, here is how ours turned out. My little pun for you.
That was cute. That was good. High five.
Thank you. Okay, so I used a Paul Hollywood recipe for this one. It was his Easter brioche, like buns. And I hate to say it, but it was really good. Like, I know bread is his thing, but he talks about it so much that I'm like, I get it. Bread's your thing. All right. He knows what he's doing. It was a little tricky. I don't know. I'm curious to hear from you, too. Getting the dough to come together, it was sticky for so long. And it got me worried that I was doing something wrong. So I did end up having to add a little bit more flour than what I was expecting. But eventually it worked out. I just had to add it little by little and keep watch. And the end result was really good. It was so soft inside and delicious. The only thing was that I didn't realize how off my oven temp was until, it was like a solid, maybe like 40 degrees off, which just seems like a lot to me, right? Using my oven thermometer. Yeah. And so, and so I didn't have the temp. I didn't realize this till after, but I didn't have the temp as high as it needed to be. So I didn't get as the deep brown color that I wanted. So I feel like he'd probably tell me it was underbaked. But the bottoms were like very brown. And so I don't know. I would make it again. I would just be mindful of the temp. Maybe I'd get that. And I also forgot to do the egg wash. Don't forget to do your egg wash. It's important. But yeah, but it was really good. Okay, let's hear your brioche.
I agree. I was surprised with how soft it was. Like, when I touched it and, like, pulled it apart before I bit it, I was like, I'm making something like this again, like some kind of brioche. Like, I'm so...
Yes.
Because it's not... I mean, bread is always more time intensive, but it wasn't, like, difficult.
No, you're right. It really wasn't as challenging as I thought it would be.
So I made Venetian brioche buns from Bake From Scratch magazine. If they would like to sponsor this podcast, they are welcome to, although they have their own podcast that we have plugged before. But so I saw these in the magazine and like bookmarked them before we even had the brioche challenge. And then I like remembered them and I was like, oh yeah, these. So they're buns and you make like a lemon pastry cream. So this worked out well. I made enough cream to make these and the wreath with one batch. Nice. So it worked out perfect. But I could have used, in the end, I was like, I could have used more on my buns. But I still think I would have had some left. And you like swirl the pastry cream on top of the buns before you bake them.
Ooh.
I had never seen anything like this before. And it comes out still like it's solidly on there. Like if you turn it upside down, you know it's not going to clump off. But it's still like creamy. It doesn't bake all the way in, which is very intriguing.
I've never heard of that before.
So I wonder, I guess you could do like anything. You could make like Nutella flavored pastry cream and do the same thing, I would think.
Huh.
So yeah, I was a fan of these. They went fast at work. I loved how soft they were. Mine was sticky, but did you knead yours with your hands or with the stand mixer?
No, I just use my stand mixer.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem to take that long.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, I don't know what I did. Maybe I was distracted and did something wrong. That's more likely. Like I didn't put enough flour at first. That sounds like me. But yours sound really good. I kind of want to try these. Bake from scratch.
And I'm pretty sure it was a digital recipe, but if not, I can send you the tear off the magazine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I found them. Venetian brioche buns. They look really pretty. I can't remember if I saw a picture of yours. I think I did.
I think I uploaded them.
Yeah. Very. We've had like pretty good luck so far with these.
Yeah, it's going really well, which is for me surprising.
No, me too. I'm like, 2024 is our baking year.
Oh, and I liked these too. They had pearl sugar on top, which is that sugar that doesn't, it's like the Swedish pearl sugar. It's like thick and it's not, it
Oh,
doesn't melt in the oven.
yeah, I like that.
Yeah, me too. That added a nice touch.
Very nice. Oh, I just thought of something. Well, I thought of two unrelated things, but I want to tell you before I forget. One, have you ever used rice in your cupcake pans, like underneath
I've
the
seen
liner?
that. I don't think I have.
I tried that for the first time yesterday when I was, or the day before when I was making the carrot cake cupcakes. It works pretty decently. I think I should have added more rice, to be honest, because I had spots of like moisture. But it's supposed to like make it not as greasy, and I think it could work. So I wanted to tell you that before I forgot that I think that's a hack worth trying. Also, I wanted to talk to you about Claudia and I making the bunny cupcakes because I had totally forgot to mention that earlier. And I had texted you because it cracked me up. We frosted the cupcakes and then you cut a marshmallow diagonally and you put some sprinkles on it and then you prop them into the cupcake and it's supposed to be a bunny ears on a cupcake. And she kept telling me it was a cat. I was like, no, girl,
Yeah.
it's a bunny.
Your
I wish you could see my vision.
vision.
Yeah, but to be honest, she didn't. Yeah.
I put the picture on our Instagram and with a poll, and
Oh,
so
really?
far, Bunny Ears is winning.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes me feel better. Bunny ears it is.
I like the like most of it's blue, but I like the like pop of pastel on there. That's pretty.
Yeah. And there were obviously variations of what you could do. You could do like dipping the actual cupcake in the sprinkles too, which we did later on. But it's a cute little easy kid-friendly baking adventure. You might get a cat though, so just be warned.
Be warned, and maybe a bunny, maybe a cat. A little this, a little that. This season, we channel Dr. Frankenstein and do a little experimentation by blending two favorite recipes together. In this episode, we take two of our beloved chocolate chip cookie recipes, one from Midwest Made and the other from 100 Cookies. Let's talk about our creations. So I made this a really long time ago, but my cookie one turned out better than my brownie one, I think, because I liked my mashup.
Okay, do you remember what you did exactly? Because this one was hard for me because there wasn't a whole lot of variation to do. Like a chocolate chip cookie has pretty much the same
Right.
stuff in it.
You said exactly. No, it was too long ago, and I
Yeah.
lost my note. But I used the same method as with the brownies. I used the like ratios and like looked at this one has how much percent butter and like to try and figure out like a medium, like what would be, this one's got 60 and this one's got 40. Okay, let's try 50%
Ooh.
to play with it. I remember I bumped up the brown sugar, made that higher. And I did do the brown butter. I did like to do that all the time now, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I don't think I pan banged them. No, I didn't pan bang them. I have a picture of them. They did not look pan banged. It's like a dance move, like the
pan bang.
The pan bang, the mashed potato, the pan bang. but they were good. And I upped the chocolate chip ratio as well. So more brown sugar, more chocolate chips. And I really liked the matchup. It was good.
Yeah. Are they your new go-to? Will you keep doing this? You've been really into the ratios.
I'll have to look because I'm pretty sure I wrote the final recipe in my cookbook, which means I'll make them again. Okay. So yeah, probably.
I feel like they'll put more effort.
My go-to is still the New York Times.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I should have done the New York Times plus this one.
I didn't even think about that. Like the fancy one plus the simple one and make a mashup.
Yeah. Well, then next time I make chocolate chip cookies, which will probably be in within the next couple weeks, I'm going to try the New York Times one because I don't think I've made those. And you know how I feel about the New York Times, but I'm going to try. We'll see. It's the same way I feel about Paul Hollywood, I guess. I'll take it on. Well, you put in way more work than I did because I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make the Midwest made cookies that I really love, but I will brown the butter. I agree with you. I think that's just, you just need to do it. Now it's standard. And then I like the look and the feel of a pan banged cookie. And so I pan bang all of them now. And they don't always look the best, but this one pan banged well. I feel like I've said that too many times now. It worked. The pan bang. It worked. So they were good. I mean, I haven't had a chocolate chip cookie recipe lately let me down. So as long as they're not cakey, I'm fine, honestly. But yes to the brown butter. Always do it.
There was something I wanted to tell you and I forgot. What did I see? I wonder if it's still on our stories. Oh, yeah, because today's April Fool's Day. Did you see that Giuseppe from Great British Bake Off released a cannoli perfume?
Okay, so I saw you posted to our thing, and I saw it, like, very recently, maybe right before we hopped on. It is so funny. But honestly, that doesn't sound so bad, does it? I'd love to smell like cannolis.
There's the market, Giuseppe. You should go for it.
I could see myself going to work and just, who brought in baked goods? That's so funny.
I smell like cannolis now.
I honestly didn't see too many April Fool's jokes, but I haven't really been online today because my Wi-Fi got cut out because the robot vacuum ate the cord to the router. So I haven't had Wi-Fi in a couple of days. So maybe it's good that I didn't because I haven't really been online as much because of that. Yeah, so I just haven't seen as many.
You know, I haven't seen as many as I normally do, I think. I feel like a lot of brands usually do stuff.
Yeah.
But I did see Figabroid. It showed up in my email. They're releasing Cooling Cannibal, which is that, my pronunciation is terrible, but it's that Swedish cardamom bun flavored deodorant.
I thought you said cannibal.
And I was like, I thought you did too, which is why I had to explain it, but that's my stuffy nose.
I was like, what now? That's funny. Wait, what was it? I know the main part.
It's a cardamom bun scented deodorant.
Deodorant. That's the part.
So we could, you know, wear that deodorant in the Giuseppe cologne and just smell like a bakery. You know, movie theaters pumping popcorn smell. Our bakery employees will just wear cardamom scented deodorant.
Right. It's just diabetes through the air.
It's very American.
Right. Yeah. It lines up.
Thank you for listening to this batch of Procrastibaking. We hope we've provided some food for thought for your next Procrastibaking project. As always, the links and photos discussed in this episode can be found in our show notes. Procrastibake with us on Facebook and Instagram while you wait for our next episode to rise.
We will release new episodes first and third Fridays on your favorite platform. Tune in to our next episode for a rerun of our 20 and 20 segment, another boozy bake, and a coffee news break. Until next time, stay sweet.
This has been Procrastibaking. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave a good review. You can also subscribe to us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and many more. You can also subscribe to our RSS feed directly from our website at procrastibakingpodcast.com. Also, feel free to follow us and give us your feedback on social media on Instagram at procrastibakingpodcast and Facebook at facebook.com/procrastibakingpodcast. Procrastibaking is hosted and created by Rachel Rhodes and Luisa Gonzalez, produced and edited by Raul Ceballos, theme music by Alex Walker-Smith, and show artwork by Rob Demers.